Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Oh, you gonna think Security Condition 3 or Mach 3 or Warp Speed or whatever, you're gonna be thinking that tonight, because this is it. Show I've been waiting for and a guest I've been waiting to have on. But first, welcome once again to Madame Perry's Salon, the podcast with more celebrities than the inauguration. I am your hostess, cruise director, and den mother, Madame Perry. I first want to say, and I know I've said this a lot lately, thank you so much to everyone who's been listening and downloading, subscribing, sharing with your friends, because my listenership has just absolutely spiked. And, of course, a lot of that has to do with the great guests that I've had on, but I couldn't get such excellent guests and I couldn't get such good sponsors if you weren't listening. So the fact that you support me gives them a little confidence in me, too, I think. So, yeah, it helps me get a lot of fun. You know, we've had so many fun people on lately. Hey, do you remember Mary T. McCarthy? She was on a few weeks ago. She was an author. She's always done serious things, journalism, but people kept asking her about writing a novel. So she decided to do it to get them to quit asking, and she ended up creating a trilogy. It's the Scarlet Letter Society. I think the second one was the Scarlet Letter Scandal, and the third one was the Scarlet Letter Storm, which I didn't have. I had met her at Book Expo in New York, and so she was on a few weeks ago, and she just sent me the third one today in the mail, which was very nice, and she sent me a beautiful card that just said, "Thanks again for a fun show. Sorry this book is a tad late, but I did not forget you. All the best, Mary," which I just think that's so nice of somebody to take time to send a card. And if you remember that book, the Scarlet Letter Group is all about these suburban neighborhood and swingers and people having swingers and swinging parties. And she said she got the whole story. She didn't have – I said, how did your imagination come up with this? She said it was people she knew, like at sports events for people's kids, Little League. She began overhearing women talk about the plans and their parties. And that's how she came up with a lot of the plot and the characters. And it's just brilliant. And it's not the first person I've heard that's overheard people talk about swinging. You know, swinging, like wife swapping and husband swapping and those parties like that. And said so many things in the book were directly from things that she overheard. Like in the subdivision, if you had a fake landscaping rock in front, maybe near your mailbox or something, that was a signal that you were a swinger, you know, and your house was, you had parties too in your own home so people could swap off. And so, but it's a great book, and I can't wait to start the last one. I guess it would be like 50 Shades with a Sense of Humor, because there's so much funny stuff in here too. But anyway, and also, who else have we had? You know, Julie Slick, she's still on tour with Adrienne Belew Power Trio, as well as her own group, Echo Test. Last week, when I was in Amsterdam, we had James Kotak. You know, James Kotak's from Kentucky, but he played with a German band called the Scorpions for a long time, then his own band, Kotak, that had his former wife, Athena Bass, who's also been a guest, and who's also Tommy Lee's younger sister. She was a drummer, but she's not on there anymore. They were on a TV show called Ex-Wives of Rock. I think they were divorced or separated by then. But anyway, we had James on last week, and that was a fun show. And I've got some really good stuff coming up, too, as you know. But you can always subscribe on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, Blueberry, all kind of places, and you'll know who's coming up next. Now, as I said, I am so psyched about tonight's guest. This man is just... he's done it all, and he's made it happen. And I can tell you one thing for true. Just about every song that you hear at a party, at the club, at the wedding reception, that makes everybody get up and dance. And when you can tell, you know, when there's that one, just a little handful of songs that when the DJ puts those on, everybody goes crazy and everybody dances. And this man has had a hand in probably just about all the songs that are your favorites on the dance floor. He's produced, he was years ago with Def Jam. He's been, he's president of A&R Universal Music Group and Transformers Music Group International. He's a platinum music producer, as I said, produced or co-produced records for E-40, Yin Yang Twins, V.I.C., Bun B of UGK, and Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull. The mega hit Wobble, performed by V.I.C., he co-produced it along with Package Store, and Mr. Collie Park has been streamed or downloaded over 50 million times to date. He's the co-producer of one of the hottest Pitbull songs ever made called Shake by Yin Yang Twins featuring Pitbull, and it's also A&R for Warner Music Group, and I could just go on and on, but I am going to bring him in here. Now, you know, Madame Perry's salon is like the inside of Cheney's bottle, so I have to, it's a little dim, I have to see if he's here or if I've let him in. Hi, Tom Slick. Are you in here?
I am. I was hearing the introduction. I was like, who's she talking about, me? So I appreciate that.
Tom Slick, platinum producer Tom Slick, and sir, that is you, and only you.
I
was going to ask you, I know I left a lot of stuff out, but you know, I had to get you in here and talk to you instead of just talking about you. How you feeling tonight? It's been a good day, a good Monday?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm in Hotlanta, of course. This is where I reside, and I appreciate you having me on the show, honestly. So, you know, we talked before, but your energy is superb, so I love it, you know?
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And like I said, I don't know where to begin with you. I mean, you didn't, like some people, you didn't give me any prepackaged questions, so I figured we're just going to go organic. And sometimes with somebody like you, you know, that can roll great. And I've got people, listen, I'm getting, you know what you do. You know how successful you are, and you know how famous you are. But you don't have any idea how many messages I've been getting from people and direct messages on Facebook and stuff going, how did you get him? Congratulations. Wow, what did you do?
Wow. Well, for the record, look, she didn't have to do anything but contact me. For the record, you know, a very, very attractive woman, but, you know, she didn't have to do anything to get me on this program.
Well.
That we can talk about, right? But, only thing I would say is, I really appreciate that. And like you said, I have been instrumental in a lot of the party music that goes on out there, like on the pop side. And now, I dabble into a lot of stuff. I don't think I told you about the, I might have told you about the Comte de Mazare. That's the name of the champagne that I'm into.
I didn't know if I was I didn't know if I was allowed to talk about it yet, so.
No, you can talk about that.
Well, you talk about it. Let's talk about
it. It's basically.
Your French is better.
It's Comte de Mazarin. It took me a long time. And I don't say it like he said. He's that Comte de Mazarin, my boss. So he's very passionate about that. But it's basically a champagne. Let me backtrack. It's the gold emotion concept. So think of party planning, event planning, like a wedding or baby shower. So you guys out there want to do something extravagant or office party, Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
We design these solid gold, 24 karat gold, real bottles, and we can spray anything gold. We can make anything gold. That's really the concept to make it look like, you know, it's to me, it's very bougie. I would say that, but bougie in a good way. To where somebody would come into your party and be like, "What the hell is that?" Yeah, it's like that. It's a showstopper, pretty
it's
much.
It's not. And just to define this, it's not presumptuous. Bougie is, because I never think of bougie as really not too presumptuous. I think sedity is presumptuous, not bougie.
Right. Bougie is good.
Am I
bougie
right?
Good. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Bougie is good.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've done parties for Will I Am, Lady Gaga, Rihanna, Sharon Stone has a foundation, and I'm sorry, Sharon, I can't remember the name of the foundation because I wasn't there at that party, but we did something for her, and we engraved the bottle.
Is it Amphar? She does a lot of work for
something
Amphar.
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. That sounds right. Yeah. She, and, you know, everybody loves it. Like, they love the bottles, and they're, you know, signatured by the celebrity themselves, so we can transform it from a PDF onto the bottle. So it looks like that, and you're drinking solid gold. I know that sounds crazy, but you're drinking gold flakes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now,
so
this, just one moment.
That's
this
something
is,
to see.
Well,
mm-hmm.
So what you're telling me, Tom, is
mm-hmm.
we're not just getting the gold package on the bottle.
Right.
We're getting the real thing inside.
And you're just ingesting, and it's you know, it's safe. And I know the first thing somebody asked me was like, can that kill you drinking metal? Like, no, if we did that, we'd be sued. I mean, it's perfectly safe to drink.
No,
but it started.
And, you know,
there
are some, you know, some very fancy, elegant chocolate companies will put gold leaf on their chocolates and truffles and things. So
yeah,
it can't be
exactly
bad
right.
if they do that.
Right, and it's kind of like, I would say it's like that, but on steroids, pretty much, because we do the bottles, and we may bring some girls and paint them in gold, 24-karat gold, guys, paint them, that whole look, and have the food on the guys and the food on the girls, so, you know, if anybody has that kind of budget, and or you don't have to have a huge budget, it's not like that, and wants that, you know, you definitely can, you know, get my number at the end of the show, or you can give them to them. It's no problem. Either way.
Well, now, you know, I'm not in the habit of sharing numbers, and I've had a lot of famous musicians and authors on here, but I'm sure you're going to have some website and information that I can give out later on how people.
Oh, we
can
have all that. Yeah, I'm wide open. I mean, it, either way, it don't matter. And
okay.
I got a number just for that. So yeah, I'll definitely take care of you.
Okay.
I'll take care of you.
So just give it to me, and I'll put it in my social media, my Madame Perry Salon page. I don't want to just say, hey, it's 404 Wobble or something like that, or 404.
That's a whole different gig. That's a whole nother level, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's very exciting, isn't it? Because that's a whole new project for you.
Yeah, that's something different.
You know, branching out.
Still kind of in the music business, but, you know, dealing with music people. But, you know, guys like, you know, rappers like Champagne and, you know, R&B artists and pop musicians do too. You know, everybody does. But it's a little different
mm-hmm.
Of the elegance, you know, and the way the bottles look. So, you know, that's the big thing. But speaking of the music side, and, you know, we can go into that. The Wobble song, like you said, is to date my biggest song that I was involved with, I would say. And, you know, for those of you who don't know or do know the Wobble song, I'm the guy on the Wobble song that says, hey, yo, big girl, why don't you back it up? Just back it up. That's me. So so my wife kills me every time she hears that because she's thinking, everybody thinks I'm 600 pounds. Like, no. And it was a joke when I did it. Not a joke like at, you know, obese people or anything like that. It was just a, like something, you know, you say something and then I said, you know what? When you're in the club, the big girls never get love. And you always see the big girls dancing with confidence and they don't care. So that's what it was. And I said it and everybody was like, damn, that sounds good.
That was it. I got a friend
Named
TJ. TJ lives in North Carolina. And some guys were picking on him at his job one day about his big girls he liked. And he goes, hey, man, big girls need love, too. Don't discount them.
Big girls are fun, too. You know? Those are the ones
now,
that get the party
here's
jumping.
The thing, though. Yes. You know why? Because they're not starved. They're not hungry. They're, you know, you get those skinny, hungry girls. They're in a bad mood all the time. You know, you got one that hasn't eaten since 2012. She's irritable. Her blood sugar's down. Her electrolytes are off. Everything makes her mad. But you got a girl that's had a good appetite. Yeah, she's ready to go out and have a good time. That's your best friend. Wobble is a VIC. Now, let me tell you something. When I first time I saw the video, it started off with a dedication to Cab Calloway. I thought, okay, all right, you got something to prove to me because I'm a big Cab Calloway fan. So Cab Calloway,
yep.
I did, and I was very pleased. But you know what? If you go through on YouTube, there are so many videos that poor people have been at the club, people that was there. You know, nowadays people get into these fancy choreographed wedding where the bridegroom and their attendants do a big choreographed dance at the reception, which is fun. And this is one, there was even one where VIC crashes a wedding during Wobble. You happened to hear them?
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
Yep. She did.
Yeah.
Yep. I saw it. He just walked in. I think he was in the hotel or something. And,
I mean, what a nice guy. Some people wouldn't do that. What a sweetheart.
Right.
And this one, though, and there's even a the Wobble instructional video has 6.8 million views. That's just the instructional video. So how do you feel when you put something like that together, and, you know, there are some things where you just know you're having a good time, you feel like it's good. But, you know, when somebody has a big hit like that, and people say, well, did you know at the time it was going to be that big? Did you feel at that time when you were producing it and the song and the video?
Yeah, you know what? Good question because, honestly, I mean, I can't take all the credit. Mr. Colley Park was the one. He, you know, for those of you who don't know, he's the producer behind Yin Yang Twins, a lot of party music, a lot of Atlanta, down south bass music, and Miami. He was involved in that whole kind of dance scene anyway. But he, and instrumental with Pitbull, too, in his days when he was doing that kind of music. But, I think when we heard it, we knew it was different, and we knew that one. We definitely knew that one, but it didn't jump off as soon as we did it. It's like we did the video. The video was like 14 hours. We did it, so we thought we had something, and then it didn't do anything. So we were like, dang. You know, and it happens like that sometimes. But then the real story is Beyonce danced to the song at Jay-Z's. I think his mom was having a birthday party or something, and they were out in the front, and I guess somebody filmed it, and it hit YouTube. And that's when the song took off. And that was like a year and a half later. And that was, and after that, I mean, it just took off. And now I think you guys for me with Tom Joyner, he plays it every morning, like the Wobble, wake up or get to work early or something like that. So, yeah, it just took off from there. Now they're playing it at weddings and bar mitzvahs and everywhere, crazy. That's it.
Oh,
so it's
yes,
the same
I've been
thing
a fan
with
Tom Joyner
Boy.
For a...
Oh, yeah.
So that's the thing, you know. So thank you, Beyonce. You know, it's like I bet VIC wanted to send her a Mr. Colley Park wanted to send her a case of that that fancy gold champagne. Champagne Masquerade. Yeah. I bet they wouldn't send her a case of that. You know, you can't buy something like that, which, you know, what somebody like that does for your
Definitely.
For your product or your music, whatever it is. Oh,
yeah,
that is great.
That one.
So
you know, it just takes that one.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you? How long have you worked with VIC? How'd you get to know him?
VIC, we when he got signed to Cloudy Park Music, we were cool, but I wouldn't say he's like, you know, best of buddies, nothing like that. We just worked because he was signed to the label, so. That's how it works.
Uh-huh.
I haven't talked to him in a while. He, and you know, it is no secret. Him and I think the label, he didn't do anything after that as far as making that big, huge hit. And that, let that be a lesson
mm-hmm.
to you boys and girls. I know I'm talking to grown people. if you don't make that next one, the label, it could get ugly, you know? So, you just had to have your ducks in order, you know, and have everything ready, and have have your money right, and, you know, connections and treat people right while you're on top. So, I haven't talked to him, so you know how that goes, right? So, I haven't talked to him in a while. Yeah.
Well, by the way, if you want to talk, everybody listening, if you want to talk to Tom Slick, you can call 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922, and that's a toll-free call anywhere in the continental U.S. Well, you know, Tom, I'm an Atlanta girl, too, and, you know, we've had a lot of celebrities come out of Atlanta 20, 30 years, but I know there's been people and people who have come out, and maybe they, like a band that won a contest to open for a major band at Phillips Arena, and they walking out, well, there's no more, it's going to be limos from here on for us, you know, and it wasn't, you know, or somebody, you know, it's like, it doesn't change that fast, you know, or people who come out and say, you know, quit their job the next day because they happen to have a good gig. No, it doesn't work that way.
No.
And, but then again, too, back in the early 90s, I had a TV show in Atlanta, and I had, but I remember there was a couple of musicians. I could always tell the ones who had been somewhere, who had made a career of it, whether it's like there was a guy, Pat Buchanan. He made his career as a sideman for Hall & Oates, Cameo, all kinds of people back then. And he said, the first thing I do is come in and I treat the crew nice. I buy the crew a beer after the show, you know, because these are the people that can make you look good. Or not, and there you could always tell the people who had been somewhere, and who, like my friends Rick Richards and Rick Price, who were the Georgia Satellites, and now they lost out on their Grammy. They were nominated for a Grammy with the Georgia Satellites, but they lost out to Milli Vanilli. So, which shows you about the music business. But you know, and they were nice to the crew, and. And then there was a guy, Sean Mullins, who sent me he was just gigging around town, sent me the nicest note after the show. And then, of course, it was maybe 10 years later, had a grant, for Lullaby.
Yeah, I remember him.
And I thought, you know, I could tell because, he was one of the people that sent me a note when he was just, you know, just gigging around town and said thank you. And I saved that note because these are the people, you know, that will get somewhere because they've got talent, but they know how to tour with people. And don't give up that factory job just yet, you know, or that day job. It didn't work that way, does it?
Never does. Even when I came in the game, I was working at the Atlanta Hartsfield Airport, and I was pushing wheelchairs. I was pushing wheelchairs. Then I moved up to the ops manager, and then. But all that time, I was giving my CD to everybody. I mean, I gave my CD to Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
I gave my CD to Ludacris. I gave Tom Cruise, whoever was around. I had a CD of music production. Yeah, and I just gave it to him. And the only person that actually put it in their tape deck or CD player was Mr. Collie Park. So, you know, I owe him, you know. My getting in the music business, you know. So now, you know, definitely getting ready to, I haven't told you this, but I'm getting ready to open a, or launch, excuse me, a website along with my guy Eric Azizi. He's the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And he's of Afghan descent. And what he's trying to do is bridge the gap between American music and music over in Asia. So he's trying
to do that.
And it's totally free. Yeah, it's totally free website. And you can stream music from your artist, the local artist you like, you know, artists from around the world, wherever. And we're 20% cheaper than the iTunes and the Tidals out there and, you know, all these other people, Amazon, everything. So we're launching in 2018, January, and I'll give you more info on that.
Ooh.
I forgot to tell you about that one.
That is sweet.
And it's called Ariel.com.
I don't see.
Yeah.
It's called, yep. It's going to be what now?
Ariel.com. A-R-Y-E-L-L.
All right. I like it. I like that a lot. And I like the sentiment about it, you know, because there's music is one of those universal things that can bring people together, certain kinds of businesses. I was in Amsterdam last week. My husband was at a trade communications trade show, and I was, uh-huh. when I walked in there with him for a while, you know, it's one of those things like if you go to a book expo or you go to a music event, the rest of the world might be fighting and carrying on and saying bad things about each other, but in there, it doesn't matter where you're from or what you look like, you know, you're all in there together. In the same business,
yeah.
and everybody's trying to support each other and help each other along, or you get the same feeling. And yeah, that's great. And today, more than ever. But that's close, you know, that's, if you're going to launch that January 2018 and it's already into September, you might need a fabulous publicist, a fabulous entertainment publicist.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a good one, and we got about two or three, honestly, because this is
uh-huh.
you know, I'm glad you said that. This is a multi-million-dollar site, you know, so it's on that level.
Okay, all right. Well, just keep me in mind now, okay? So
I got you.
Hey, do you know just off the do you know Tom Morell and Jay Foster? Well, they had this TV show for a while called In the Mix. In the Mix.
I know other shows. And, I definitely know other shows. Yeah.
Yeah, and Tom used to direct my TV show. So, yeah, so we go way back and all that. You probably do, yeah, would know them by sight. But let's talk two more about now. There's another video that I've watched a lot, and it's called Shake. It's the Yin Yang Twins and Pitbull.
Uh-huh.
And this is a few years back that Pitbull was featured in this. Did
right 2005.
Tell me about him. Who? Yeah. So it was way back there, but hey, it still holds up as a party song, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, that came about, honestly, that was before I was married. so I was actually in a strip club, and I heard the version, I don't know if you know the song, you probably not heard it on a commercial. I heard that part of it in the strip club, and I saw how the girls were reacting to the song, the old song. The old version of it,
uh-huh.
and we just flipped it and made it 2005, and Pitbull loved it, and the rest is history. And we put, you know, Yin Yang Twins on the song, and that was his first single, and that kind of transitioned to him into that pop dance arena. That song, in particular, from then on he went
yeah,
to a whole
and he
place.
Oh yeah, he just blew up there.
Yeah, he blew up.
So, but you've worked with him a lot, haven't you, with Pitbull?
Yeah, I did. We didn't place everything, but the Shake was the biggest thing. I did a song called El Fuego with him as well. I Chico, I was in that video with Mr. Carly Park with him. So, you know, all those three things, we did that, and then after that, he blew up. And he probably, the sad part about it, he probably wouldn't even know what I did. honestly. And it's not a conceited thing with him or like a star thing. He just, he's on that level now. Like, man, I don't remember what happened in 2005. You know what I mean? So he's like that. Yeah, he's like that, man. He probably bust out laughing when I tell him, like, yeah, I'm the one that did da-da-da with you. Because I did it with Mr. Collie Park, and at that time, Mr. Collie Park was the name. You know, I wasn't the name yet, so he was the name. So, and that's the name of the game, really, you know. You got to kind of – it's kind of like one of those things, if you're trying to get in the business, you kind of got to how they say, you got to let somebody, you know, get you. It just depends on how you want to get got. You know, you want to get God the good way where you still feel okay about it, or do you want to just get completely, you know, torn to pieces? So I chose to either, and I'll tell you a scenario. They said either if my name was on the song, we would get less money, and it wouldn't be a first single. But if the other person's name was on the song, you would get more money, and you would still get co-producing credits. So I'm no dummy. So I took the money and the co-production. I mean, why not? Honestly, and it was my first song, radio, video, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, you just got to make a sacrifice sometime and do that.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. And now you do that, you know, once or twice. And after the second time, you don't do that anymore. You should be able to, you know, to stand on your own 2 feet. So, and that's what I did. But, yeah, Pitbull, that was very instrumental for me, you know, and that put me in a good spot. And, you know, Ying Yang Twins have put them in another light as well. So, you know, from there, it just went from doing production different places here and there and joining the Package Store, which was another production team with Collie Park Music. And then we did Soulja Boy. We worked with him, and we didn't produce that Crank That song, but we were the ones that produced some more records on his album, but that was a big album as well. And, you know, we were on top of the world at that point, but then Soulja Boy turned 360 degrees. But he's a very smart kid. I wouldn't say anything bad about him, but he's a very smart kid. Like, you know, he's different from what he used to be, but it's like not any teenager, but it's like how teenagers do when they get money at, I mean, you know, 16, 17. You know, we talking about Mega Millions. At 16, 17, you can do what you want. Your
good,
mom and dad
great.
Not on the road with you. I mean, imagine me, you know, myself. Imagine me at 16, you at 16, and no parents, no guardians. You just got yes men. They letting you do whatever you want to do. So you're going to turn some way. You know, it's the same thing with Justin Bieber. You know, he's paying all the bills. So it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? You can't tell him no. I mean, but you'll be fired. So these people know.
That's true.
It is what it is. You know, it's sad. It's like that. It's almost like, have you ever seen Miley Cyrus's dad when they ask him questions like, hey, how did you like your daughter kissing on penises on stage? Oh, Miley's being Miley. The hell you mean Miley being Miley? You know, I got daughters myself. My daughter's 15, and I got one 10. You know good and well you don't like that crap. Come on, man. Well, she's just being Miley. No. So when you get that kind of power when you're young, man, it could be bad. It could be very bad or very good.
Yeah, and you think, you know, somebody's got to be, you know, have things under control way before then. It's very seldom you hear somebody that's really kept their head on straight through all that. But, yeah, that's Justin Bieber, that whole story. Yeah, it's going crazy. And, you know, Usher was really his mentor, wasn't he?
You know, yeah. I don't know if you know the story, and I might be putting your listeners on to something. There's no secret. Like, what Puff, P. Diddy, I guess they call him now, P. Diddy, what he would do was he would take Usher at 13, 14, 15, 16, and basically turn him into a man, if you know what I mean. So he would have parties at his house and take him, have late night parties, club, and have grown women around him to get his, it was some kind of way that they would make him, the way Diddy says it was to make him like cool. You know what I'm saying? So it's a gift and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
It worked, but it kind of made it difficult too. It kind of made him grow up too fast. same thing with Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
For us to take Justin Bieber in, I don't think, you know, Justin tried to do him as much as Puffy did, but it's kind of like a thing, it's a ritual with them that they take the young guy and kind of, you know, break him in and put him around older women and, you know, okay, now I got confidence to sing on the stage like this. Well, I can do this and I do that. It's a confidence thing. It's not right, but that's where they were. And the sad part about it, it worked.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the sad part. It actually worked. So, it is what it is.
Sort of went off. Sometimes it can go off the rails, too, you know. Like.
Oh, yeah.
I've never, I'm sure you know Usher. I've never met him, but I've met his younger brother, J-Lack. And ask me how I met him.
How did you meet him?
You know, Tom, I'm glad you asked me that question because it was, I don't know, it could have been 15 years ago, you know, doing acting. I had an agent, you know, signed with a couple of different agencies to get me gigs as a singer or performing or whatever. And this group called me a day before New Year's and said they needed there was a party that needed a fortune teller. And it was at Miss Patton's house. So, Miss Johnetta's.
Wow.
So I was the Madame Peretsky, the fortune teller, and yeah, that's where J-Lack came into.
And that's how you met. Wow.
Fortune.
That's a story.
See,
that's a story.
Because I'm not going to say, oh yeah, it was a big party and this and that or whatever. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Yeah, I was hired as a fortune teller. She still doesn't know who I am, but you know, because a couple of agents would call for stuff like that, and they'd say, can you do four? I go, what? Oh, we know you probably don't tell fortunes, but we figure, you know, you've got a sense of humor. You'll make them laugh. We bring Madame Belle. She told them they're going to die. Party's over. But you'll make people laugh. So,
I believe that. I believe it. No, man. I mean, it's crazy that you meet people like that. That's interesting. That's crazy.
At his mom's. It was at his mom's house, you know, so.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I probably met his mom a long time ago. Once again, she wouldn't remember me. I wasn't the club guy, you know, like the studio. Like, I don't like staying in the studio all night long. I don't do that. Like, I didn't like it. Because I always had, like, I had a, of course, my 15-year-old was one at the time. But, you know, I had a baby, so I wasn't really trying to be out like that. You know, and it kind of didn't mix because you can't do that and kind of, you know, try to be at home and you can't do it. It's just not going to happen. And I didn't like drugs, so I couldn't really do the whole staying in the studio all night with marijuana.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? So that right there turned me off from the industry, period. And it's not saying everybody does that, but about 90% of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, black, white, or whatever, everybody does it. You know, so.
Exactly. Yeah, it permeates that culture.
Yeah, yeah, and I was never that person. And at the time, early, I was still working a job, so I couldn't go smelling like Jamaica and going to work. That wasn't going to happen. That didn't go right.
I know.
Not at the airport.
I know.
No.
No, Jamaica. I know. Cause you know, in Amsterdam, you know how everything, just about everything is legal over there.
Oh,
it's like you walk down the street. You're like, whoa, let me get through this little cloud before I have to go get a bag of Oreos just from walking down the road, you know, or walking.
They do not
what
care
have you been smoking? Nothing.
There.
I just walked down the street. But you got any snacks? You know, but.
They don't care over there. They don't care over there.
No, they don't. And I sent a postcard to David Hurley, who's one of the friends of the show. He's a writer, and he has an online magazine, Bookalage. And I sent him a postcard of the girls in the windows there, you know, the working girls. And I just said, hey, Dave, I'm still looking for a job. They've got one over here that doesn't seem to require a lot of paperwork, or I could probably sleep late, no micromanagement. What do you think? So, not that I'm going to do it. But, you know, everybody hates the paperwork in a job, right? So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Well, listen, Everybody, if you want to talk to Tom Slick, 646-716-9922, give him a call. I have a question coming in for you on messages, and yes, you can message in a question too. This one is from, she's one of my favorite people. She's a writer and editor, Becky Kyle. In fact, for years, she was one of the people that judged the Amazon Breakout Novel Award. So, yeah. And Becky Kyle says to you, she said, ask Tom, please, what he thinks the future of music is going to be, and specifically, will it be all digital, or does he see, you know, vinyl coming back, or CDs, and are videos in or out? So,
That's a lot of questions. Let me see if I can get them all in one. Let's see.
That's a lot of questions, future, Becky. Thanks a lot.
Future of music,
I should be charging people.
I know, right? No, that's fine. I think the future of music is digital. I know that, like, for sure. Like, it'll be a lot of we probably won't have CDs in the store. Like, it might be that bad. Mm-hmm. Like, it may be where we go into the store and we could download the album or the song in the store. It might get that bad just because that's how we do
wow.
it through our phones, right? That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the future, I do see more of independent artists coming back, like not relying on just do you have, you know, a million followers and all this stuff. Like, it'll go back to you like the artist and you buy the artist's music, not because, you know, the record labels put $1 million into the song, you know. So that'll come back, I think, too. The authenticity of the artist, you know, no matter what genre it is. And what was the other thing she said? She said, what was the other question? Second and third one?
Yeah, let's see. The future of the music, where was your question here? Specifically, what's the future going to be? Do you see, all digital, do you see vinyl coming back? So is that a little fad popularity lately?
No vinyl coming back. Yeah. Now, I will say, I don't think it'll go away. People always like vinyl. I mean, I do too. But it's to the point now, everybody wants something so easy now. So it's just everything is all digital, you know? That's what
mm-hmm.
I think, pretty much. And what was the last question?
What is, like, I think that was it. Cause yeah, I think that was the last part.
Okay.
Are videos out? Videos out. Are they in, out?
Oh, no.
Are people still
keep
making videos?
They're still in because you can make money off videos now. So you can make videos off of plays now. So, you know, like if Wobble was out now, like, you know, it's still out. But if it was just coming out and doing those numbers like that, we'd be having a different conversation because YouTube wasn't paying for, you know, they weren't paying people like that to have art, to have numbers. They were just, you know, paying you and then you would get advertisement, you know, opportunities, stuff like that. Now, YouTube hits are just like getting downloads. So that's
mm-hmm.
the future of music now. You know, so you make a video now for the plays and for the hits and, you know, that's what you're doing now. And that's definitely where the game is going to now. And for like I said, for all genres, I mean, they try to, what was the song that just hit a billion? Gee, I was just looking at it. Despacito, I think.
Yeah,
that song hit like a billion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just like him selling a billion singles, pretty much. That's what it
Man.
Looks like. So, yeah, so you could imagine, right? that's what we are.
Wow, yeah.
That's
I hear a lot
are.
Of musicians talking about how they feel like they don't really make any money anymore, or it's too hard to make any money because of the digital downloads and the
Yeah, it is. And then the live shows, you don't have too much of that because everybody's so digital, and when you get to the live show, they suck. So there's a lot of that going on, too.
You know what? I've got a – I was back in May, you know, I don't know if you're Todd Rundgren, White Knight tour that's on, and he's got a song off his new album. I think it's from the new album, The White Knight. It's called By My Tea. And the song is all about the singer saying, you know, you're going to, everybody's getting my music off the phone or whatever. And he says, so buy my tea, buy my hoodie. You need a souvenir. We got cotton goodies. I know my limits. I give until it hurts. You can bootleg my music, but you better buy a shirt. So,
hey, that's a good motto to have. I mean, if you're going to do something, you know, help me out on one end. That is true.
Because that's the chorus. You can bootleg my music, but you have to buy a shirt. So, but I also noticed another thing that seems to be very prevalent, and that's people. Oh, okay. I'm going to have another question for you here.
Okay.
All right. Hang on a second. This is from a musician named Adrian Ash. So let me read his question. He says, "What is your preferred method of, and I don't know this term, gain, and that's G-A-I-N, gain staging."
Gain, G-A-I-N, staging?
I-N, hyphen, staging, like staging.
He must be talking about, like, well, you might have to ask him back. Tell him, are you talking about a production-wise? Because I manage now. It sounds like a new production term that the millennials are talking about. Mm-hmm. But
okay.
But
Let me see. If you, okay, you talk of production, so maybe he'll get his answer.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's from him. So while I'm waiting for Adrian Ash to message me back. One thing I've noticed, I've seen that be a big trend, and it seems to be not with the people that are out now, like maybe a Gaga or Beat It, but there's a lot of bands that have been popular, have been played for years, bands having a big comeback, and they're having these things, these meet and greets before the show where they charge like an extra anywhere from $50, $75, $100. You get to come in, you meet them, get your picture made, and go. And then go sit and wait for the show to start.
Yeah, heard of those. It's I'll tell you another one. I've had people pay me just to consult them on what they should do. Like, it's some crazy people out here. Like, I would suggest, like, you know, I'm not trying to knock anybody's hustle, but I would suggest you don't pay, you know, not pay anything ridiculous. I mean, of course, you got some people like, hey, you got to pay me for my time. I get it. But don't pay, you know, you got people paying $1,500, you know, $1,000, you know, $5,000. I mean, it's people paying all kind of money just to get somebody to tell them that their music sounds good or bad. That's it. So it's worth it, but it's not worth it. You know, it's just got to be the right person. And when I say the right person, I mean, we talking, I mean, if he's going to get you in front of you know, freaking Steven Tyler, somebody like that is going to get you, you know, Gaga. And then, talking. But, I mean, or Clive Davis, you know, those kind of people on that level.
Yeah.
But, don't spend your money. Or if you got a little kid that you think that can sing and, you know, Little Miss Sunshine, and you about to drop $15,000 into her, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. it's other ways,
you know, and because I mean, I can see some people. Oh, I get to go stand next to this person and get my picture made, and it's only going to cost me $100. And I know people need to make money, but dang, that could be a little cold, you know.
Well, not yet. I mean, there are people that just can't afford that. You know what I mean? So that's kind of bad. You want to see it? Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, here's another one. I love that expression, not trying to knock anybody's hustle. Speaking of hustle, now this was a few years ago. My best friend Kenya and I were out at this restaurant called Thrive. It's downtown near the Olympic Park and kind of across from the Glen Hotel. And the owner was telling me that they were going to have somebody come in. 50 Cent came in, and then somebody else wanted to come in and eat. They pay these people $50,000 to eat there so they can say they ate there.
Wow. Damn.
And you know what I told Kenya? We heard that, and Kenya's daughter is a rapper, and she writes her own music,
okay.
And she's a rapper, and she goes by and Nikki, you know, Queen of the Mic. And I said, you better get little Nikki to get the moving, because Mama and her Aunt Jennifer
got some ideas.
We got some ideas, you know. I said, you got a child at home? We're doing. Let's get that girl going now, because she's gorgeous. She's got talent. Hey, I want somebody to pay her to eat somewhere, and then we'll just go sit with her.
No, that's right. I mean, but just imagine how much money is out there, like, for, you know, just people to do walkthroughs. Like Jay-Z does, I mean, a walkthrough for, like, I think, I want to say 50,000, just to walk through the club.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's probably 100,000. It's probably something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, him, LeBron James, people like that, 100,000 just to walk in my club and walk back out.
And they're not even going to give you a back
massage
or anything. They're not even going to
nothing. No pat on the back. Nothing.
Nope. No cuddle. No nothing. No good conversation. Nothing. So
only in America. Only in America.
Hey. Okay. All right. I got my answer from Adrian T. Ash. He said that gain staging. He was talking about mixing.
Tell him. Hey, Adrian, first of all, I'm definitely not the engineer guy. No. I can just tell you how the song sounds, and, you know, make the beat and you know, the music around and all that stuff. When I was doing that, I managed now. But I definitely have, if you give him my information offline, you can. What we talked about, and I could point you in the direction
mm-hmm.
of my engineer that I use, and he could definitely, you know, give you some pointers for sure. Or if you're just asking, he can still conversate. It's always nice to talk to another engineer that's good at what they do. So,
And
he might learn something from you as well. But, yeah, I can definitely hook him up.
Adrian Ash is he's a great musician. He plays a lot of instruments. Adrian Ash. Oh,
Adrian Ash. Yeah.
Adrian Ash. It gets even better. He does these. He's, you know, I knew him first as a jazz player. I knew his name. You know, he's just a jazz cat around town. But lately, for the last year or so, he's been putting together these shows with some ace musicians. That they'll do like a tribute night. Like one night it might be all the albums of the Police and Sting, and they do it to the record. And he's got the stories. And these quality musicians. Like, you got to come in knowing your stuff. One night it might be Steely Dan, David Bowie. One night it might be the prog groups, you know, like Yes and Emerson, Lake and Palmer. He says Adrian Ash and the Bad Ash All Stars. The Bad Ash All Stars. I love it.
Oh yeah. Bad Ash All Stars. That's a catchy
Adrian
name.
Ash.
Adrian Ash. Yep. I like that.
Yeah, it is. And sometime. And I've sung with them a few times at these. Yeah. You'll have to come out and join us, because it's good and it's fun and it's you should come out there with us sometime. You and your wife get a babysitter. Well, you got a 15-year-old, they can babysit.
Yo, I come back, my kids will be in the bushes. She's a tech girl. Like, she'd probably be on the phone telling me that the other ones ran out of the house. And be like, what? So she's into the phone. That's all she does. Phone and school, that's it. It was a mess, man.
Okay, you made it sound like it was going to be like that that risky business with Tom Cruise, you know, they would be.
Good kids, I would say that. They're good, but that
good
phone and the teenager stuff is, ugh. That's just, nobody prepares you for teenage girls. Now, boys are, I'm saying that because I'm a guy, of course, but teenage girls is a lot to deal with. It just is. You got to worry about boys and all that stuff, you know? So, look, I'm adjusting.
So, yeah, and by the way, because he's listening now, let's give a shout-out. Adrian Ash and the Bad Ash All-Stars, if you heard, I've invited Tom Slick to come out with me to hear you sometimes at one of your next. So if you've got something coming up soon, another Bad Ash All-Star, say it. Call us up right now and tell us. If you don't have a phone, borrow somebody's. But call us and tell us what's coming. Exactly. What's coming next with the Badass All-Stars? Let me get this guy's organized. I mean, he'll have it all down, all the parts. He's got, you know what you're doing before you get there. This ain't no slack band, no garage stuff. So let me ask you, are your kids inclined to music or production in any way?
Nah, yeah. My 15-year-old is into hair and makeup. And nail, like, she wants to do that.
Uh-huh.
And then my 10-year-old is, she wants to be a fashion designer. And the 6-year-old is a boy.
Ooh.
So he's just six. So he just wants to chill out. But, yeah, the 10-year-old is, she definitely, she watches Project Runway and all that stuff. She's serious with it.
Oh, okay.
About a soul and everything. Yeah, she's serious. And the other one does hair. So she's real good at that. And, you know, when she gets of age, I told her I'd take her to a music video, you know, look, of my choice. So she could kind of get to know an intern, you know, intern with somebody that does music in that, in, I mean, does hair in the industry, as well as, like, learn and go to school for it, too. I told her, I said, learn everybody's, you know, learn all types of things. You know, don't just try to do African-American hair. Or, you know, this type of hair. You do everybody's hair. You make more money that way. So,
yes.
She's with it. She's
yes,
down. I think she's all right for now.
And they're pretty good with technology, too, aren't they? These kids,
definitely.
These kids know technology like a second language, don't they?
Yeah, because we didn't have that. So we definitely didn't have that. We probably got knocked out trying to use the phone at the dinner table. No.
No, don't let that happen. Hey, Tom Slick, guess who's walking in here in Madame Perry's salon?
Who?
I think it's Adrian Ash of the Bad Ash All Stars. Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
What's up, brother?
So glad you.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man, I heard that name. I was like, yeah, he's got a stage name. I know he does something.
It is a stage name.
Look,
hey, Adrian.
What's funny is
now,
my brother's name is Johnny,
in...
so Johnny Cash and Johnny Ash.
Daddy Ash.
My parents
wow.
thought he would be the stage name.
Damn, that is. There it is. Now, so what's
yeah.
going on?
I don't know if you actually got the answer to your question about gain stage and production, and Tom was saying, you know, you better talk. He doesn't.
Oh,
he does more than management now.
Yeah, I'm not the engineer. I didn't want to answer your question wrong, but my guy that I use, he's an engineer extraordinaire, and I didn't know if you had a question or you just like getting, you know, just pointers on how you do it and how opposed to somebody else does it. But he's a good person to talk to, and I can definitely link you guys up.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, I was just wondering about, you know, every sound man has their own take on things. And
yeah, you know what? And that's what I was figuring too. I was like, I got it. So I know exactly what you. I got you. So I'll definitely link you guys up, man. He's real good. He's in Kentucky, in Louisville,
great.
Kentucky. Yep.
Appreciate that.
Well, that's nice, Tom. And I was telling Tom, Adrian, that about your Badass All-Star things shows, and that he should come to one of the ones coming up soon. So I wanted to bring him or him and his wife out there with me. So what's coming up soon? What's coming up next?
Next, we've got the Monster Jam 2 on October 7th at Avondale Town Cinema. And we're going to be doing all monster and spooky and Halloween-related songs. You know, Frankenstein, Don't Fear the Reaper, maybe some Black Sabbath. Anything spooky. We got a Halloween jam every year, and it's one of the favorite jams that people like to do because it's got a lot of material that we don't get to do on the other jams. So it's, you know,
yeah. How long you said you're going to be a whole month, did you say?
Well, that's October 7th, and then I got the Allman Brothers Jam October 14th, Pink Floyd Jam November 14th, I think, or is it November 18th? Maybe that's it. But, yeah, it's all on my Badass All 13 page. I got all my events. Well, I do have some new events that I need to post, but I got events posted through November at least.
Oh, yeah. No, we need to do – yeah, the later the better, because I think – the kids get out, like when they have their little break, we could probably do that or come before that. So, yeah, let me talk to the wifey when we get out the interview. When we get out, yeah, I'll talk to her. Check
hey,
that
this
out.
Will be fun, Adrian. And,
yeah,
and I feel like you put together a crack team, of musicians, and it's just all right then.
The house band's always
all
hot,
right.
And we'll probably welcome any new players too.
Okay.
If you want to tune in on anything, if you want to sing or play an instrument on any of the tunes, just let me know. I've got sign up sheets on all the event pages.
Okay. Might have to bring you to say that.
He's very. Is it okay? It's okay if I share the Google Drive with him, Adrian.
Yeah,
I'll share that with Tom.
Sure, it's got all my previous jams and future jams on it.
Oh yeah.
He's organized.
Send that to me.
I mean, he's quite professional. Yeah, not just good. He's very professional.
I can tell.
Yeah,
buddy.
Well, I'm so glad you called, Adrian. This is going to be even more fun hooking everybody up. And Tom Slick, you have been so generous with your time. And I am just so grateful that you have been on. Thank you. And, you know, you and I have been working on a little secret side project that we will I think it's going to come out
a
very popular –
I was going to tell you that. Yeah, that's tell him to email me if you can, and you know what I'm talking about.
Because
you know, I switch phones, so I still have the same email, but I need to lock him in. And,
get
him on my
WhatsApp phones
and everything so I can call him. Yep.
Okay.
So
all right, I will. So we got our own little side project.
Yep.
And that'll add to my cred that I'm doing a project not only with Tom Slick and Adrian Ash and the Bad Ash All Star. It just gives me more cred. Plus this big actor and very popular actor and
on.
Musician and
on.
And it's like and I know Adrian knows this too. I know Adrian's with this. It's like you said in the beginning of the show, Tom, about when people get a little success and how they treat other people.
Right.
And how they treat
that's
each
true.
Other. You know, is everybody lifting themselves up, or is everybody all of a sudden, you know, too good to remember anybody or talk to anybody? You know, Adrian, you've
true.
Seen it. Tom's seen it. I've seen it from people that used to be on my TV show. And, so this is I like it. And we're going to be looking forward to the website Ariel, where you're going to be bringing together with Eric Azizi and you bringing together music from different cultures. Also, tell us again, because I'm going to put everything you've got on my social media and yours too.
Okay.
But, Tom, tell us again the name of the gold champagne.
Gold champagne. Compte, C-O-M. P-T-A-E, like Compte, De, D-E, Mazare, like M-A-Z-E-R-A-Y.
Okay, Compte de Mazare.
Edible gold, and that's 24-karat gold edible champagne.
For the special occasions. All right. Well, I've kept you over time, and I'm just very, very grateful. Please tell me you'll come back and be a guest again. And hopefully I'll have Adrian on as a special guest soon. Oh, thank you so much.
Hey, while we were on the phone, Eric Azizi called and said he wanted to definitely speak to you in January when we launched the website and be one of the first interviews we do. So he asked me to ask you.
Really?
That. Yes.
That's fantastic.
Adrian,
this makes me feel, because I know people like you and Tom and now Eric, am I the luckiest girl in the world or what? You know, I just feel grateful and humbled. So,
this
is fantastic. All right, so I think what I'm going to do here is go out with one of your special songs, Yin Yang Twins featuring Pitbull. And the song is called...
There you go.
Wow.
Shake.
Hey, Tom Slick, thank you so much. I'll have all his information on all of my social media so you can catch up with Tante de Monterey and the REO website and all the goofy stuff he's doing. Also with Adrian Ash and the Bad Ash All-Stars. This is Matt Perry. I love you. Be nice
thank
to
you.
Everybody. All right.
Rock, my nigga, came up in the cut, pouring it up, rolling it up, holding it up, ain't her ass swollen or what? Yes, sir, oh, we gon' take it back like these and bows. Nasty as I wanna be, that makes me too loud for your crew. Hold it down, get low. I'm crossing these moments like tic-tac-toe.